There, Ray, do you have that? All right. Well, this sermon's coming to you from the perspective of an old man. You're getting there. I'm not 50 yet, not as old as some in here, but being a grandfather gives you a perspective, and I know we got a couple grandfathers in here. And I've been thinking about what's the purpose of life. I've had a couple of discussions with guys that I work with, and they're confused about life and confused about their purpose. But it's really pretty simple, and we're going to look at that today. If you turn with me into Genesis, we're going to take a look in Genesis. Genesis chapter 1. We'll go to the Lord first. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for the sunshine. Lord, we thank you for the love that you show us, and Heavenly Father, the grace that you give us. Heavenly Father, we just lift up those that are lost and that don't know their purpose in life, Lord. And Heavenly Father, those that don't know you or that are far away from you. Lord, we know we can find purpose and meaning with our relationship with you. And Heavenly Father, just open our eyes today as we read your words. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to look at four different points this morning that give us purpose. We're just going to jump right into Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, and over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over the creatures that move along the ground." So we see first that God created us to rule over basically the rest of the world, over all the animals in there. So God created us. Flip over to Genesis chapter 3. So God created us to be in His image. And then chapter 3, verse 8. Just want to point out, we're going to look at pre-fall and post-fall. So before sin was entered in and then after. So chapter 3, verse 8. This will show you the relationship that God had with Adam and Eve. This was right after the sin happened, but this will give you a glimpse of how it was before. Then the man and wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. So apparently, before sin was introduced, there was a relationship, a close relationship with man and God, that God interacted with him closely. He made him in his likeness for a reason. He loved man, and he had that personal relationship where here you can see that it said he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. So he sought them out to have conversation with them, to talk with them, to be with them. So that was the kind of relationship God wanted. He wanted a close personal relationship with man. So jump back into Genesis chapter 1. So that was my first point, that God wanted to have a close relationship with us. My second point is, chapter 1, verse 18. No, I wrote down the wrong verse. Jump to chapter 2, verse 18. So Adam was created. chapter 18, or verse 2. All right, let's back up. Chapter 2, verse 18. The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." So point number one, God wanted a relationship with us. Point number two, it's not good for man to be alone. It's not good for you just to be individual, no relationship with anybody else. God knows that man, whether you're married or not married, needs relationship with other people. You need others. Yeah, he could have populated the earth any way he wanted to. He could have just said, there's a bunch of atoms all over the earth. And there could have been a bunch of atoms all over the earth. But he's seen it was good to have a family structure, a family unit, man and woman, to be on the earth. So to make a suitable helper, he created a woman to be with Adam. So a man and a woman. So he's seen there was a need to have a relationship. So point two in our purpose, we need relationships with other people. We're just not an island amongst ourselves. All right, point number three, go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. Well, why is that so? He just created a perfect paradise, a garden, and he put man in it to work it. Why would God do that? All of us seem to be working to get away from work, you know, looking for retirement or looking to not have to work anymore. Why would it be good if it's paradise, the perfect, you know, the perfect garden in the whole universe? He put man in there to work it and take care of it. Why is that? I think God sees the value in working. God sees the value in contributing to doing something productive. You know, whether or not it's a job or a hobby or something, but God sees value in not being lazy and just taking, but that we actually even feel value in when we're contributing, when we're doing something. And so God's seen that right in the beginning, that he's seen it was good for Adam to work, to be productive. So that's my point number three for our purpose, to work, to do something. You know, it doesn't necessarily spell out what job you should have or what the work should be, but you're contributing to something. You're helping, you're adding value to other people. You're doing something. And all of this was pre-fall, you know, before sin. God had a relationship with man. God wanted man to have a relationship with other people, to love other people, and he wanted man to be productive, to work. So after the fall, what changed? You know, man had sinned. There was a more distance in the relationship with God, that he didn't walk with them anymore. They were removed from the garden. But what else? We see as time went by, we know that when time went by that people, groups of people, got farther and farther away from God. Some people stayed devoted to God, but some people got farther and farther away to where now, in our modern days, there's some people that don't even know God at all, don't even know that God exists, haven't heard the good news about God. But what do we still know? Turn to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11, verse 28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. God is still calling people to come to Him. Each of our points, we could take a whole Sunday to dissect and to see what God's views on them. But we see in verse 28, God still wants people to come to Him. He still wants that relationship with Him. Go to John chapter 13. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. Again, he reinforces that relationship, that he wants you to love other people and to show them love. So that's still the same as before. We still see that God's people worked. We see fishermen, we see shepherds, we see tent makers, we see people that are men and women of God that have jobs that are being productive in society, and that they're just not sitting there as takers, but they're contributing to society. We see that all throughout the Bible. Fourth point, go to Matthew 28. Matthew 28, verses 18 and 19. This is the fourth point of your purpose. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." We know that God wants a relationship with us. We know He wants us to love other people. We know that He wants us to work and to be productive. He also has the burden for those that are lost. And so He's commanding us not just to love other people, but go and show God's love to them. Go make disciples. Go to them and share His love so He can be back in relationship with them. He wants us to do more than just say we love our neighbor. He wants us to go to that neighbor, to love on that neighbor, to share Christ's love with him. So when we think about our purpose in life, we may not know what job we're going to do or what hobbies we're going to have or what kind of work we're going to do, but the other three points are pretty clear. God wants us to love him. He wants us to love others. He wants us to go and share the good news with others to draw them back to him. So three out of the four points are super easy to figure out. The third one, what are you going to do for work? What are you going to do for your hobby or how are you going to be productive? That's up to you to seek out. And for me, I have wear a lot of different hats in my life, a lot of different things that I do, that I try to be productive in. And they're going to be different for all of you. But sometimes it doesn't matter, you know, what that job is or what that purpose is. As long as you give it all, your all, and you do it for the Lord, you'll feel satisfaction in that. So when people say they're lost and they don't know their purpose, if you just look in Genesis and the beginning of the New Testament, it's pretty easy to see what our purpose is in life. Love God, love others, share others with him, and be productive. It's pretty simple. I also wanted to talk a little bit today about the revival that's going on down in Asbury. Has anybody heard about that? Yeah. I didn't hear hardly anything about it till when I was working this week. One of the guys at my work had told me about it. He said, "Hey, did you hear anything about this?" And I said, "No. I haven't." So since I've been up at night, not sleeping, I've had a lot of time to live stream it and watch what's going on down there and hear comments on what's going on down in Asbury. As far as I know, it's still going on today. I think it's probably, I don't know if it's 11 days into it now or 12 days into it. started out as just a chapel service at a college, and after the chapel service ended, the people leading the chapel service went for lunch. Well, a young man stood up and gave his testimony when the leaders were gone and shared some of his struggles and his hurts, and after that, people just stayed. And they just kept staying and praying, and other people gave testimonies, and they just kept staying and staying, and the leaders came back and said, well, there's still a bunch of people here. And more people came, and more people just wanted to share their burdens and seek out the Lord. And thousands of people have been going there from all around the world. They said they had people from Singapore come, Canada, various countries. They said colleges are sending busloads of kids down from Indiana University, Purdue University. I know Huntington College and our bishop went down with 50 people. And they said other revivals are breaking out in other college campuses. They said Lee's College, Anderson University, several of them. Now they've had like multiple days where students and people from the community are coming just to seek the Lord. There's a hunger out there for relationship with God. There's a hunger out there for people to expose their neighbors to God. And we can see, we don't know where this is going to go, but usually it really spawns a lot of good things when people are that excited for the Lord that they're going to go down. One of the videos I watched, they said there were four buildings on that college campus that they were having revival meetings in, that people, because they all couldn't fit in one building, so they opened up four different buildings. And two churches in that town also opened their doors for people to come. But even with six locations open, this guy was videotaping. He goes, here's the line to get in to that main hall. And he started walking. 7 minutes he was walking, and he was just filming the crowd as he was walking for 7 minutes. And that's how far the crowd was back. And he said, it's 24 degrees right now. It's 24 degrees out, and people are lined up just to go in there to get closer to the Lord and to worship the Lord. I just think that's amazing. They're claiming this verse. I listened to the president of the student body speak, and she's claiming this verse. If you want to turn to Habakkuk chapter 1. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 5. This is the verse that they're claiming. Look at the nations and watch, and be utterly amazed, for I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe, even if you were told. So that's the verse they're claiming at this revival. Sometimes we're shy and timid when we go out to minister to others, to share God. You know, we're coming from our insecurities that when we go approach them. I think of Moses, when God told Moses to go free his people. And Moses thought of all his insecurities and his reasons why he shouldn't go and why he would be a failure. And God pretty much told him, you know, I'm doing the work. You're just going. You're just being my vessel. But I'm doing the work. So Ray's going to cue up a song for us that when I was watching the revival, this was a new song for me. They had played this song during the revival. And it kind of gave me the a thought of the Lion King movie. Recently, I watched this with Georgia. We were watching part of it. And there's a part where little Simba, little lion, is surrounded by hyenas, and he's roaring. Just got a little roar, roar. And all of a sudden, he's just hears this great big loud roar behind him. And it's his dad, you know, protecting him. So when we think about going out and ministering this week or sharing the gospel, it's not you that's doing this. It's God through you. So that's, this song made me think of that. So Ray's going to play it. The lyrics will be up there. If everybody will stand when the song's over, you're dismissed.